And this is Pedro Reyes. I'm right here on Setting the Standard, KPFA 94.1. Thank you for listening. Right now we got on the line Stephanie, who's from the SFOP out here in San Francisco. And she's going to be telling us a little bit about some of the stuff they've been working on, some of the campaigns they've been doing out in the community, as well as what's been going on with this new immigration reform that's been being talked about by the Clan of Eight, I mean the Gang of Eight, right? So here we go. ¿Qué tal, Stephanie? ¿Cómo estás?
Bien, gracias. Gracias por invitarme.
Pues chido. Entonces cuéntanos un poco de qué están haciendo en SFOP y qué haces tú allí.
Okay. Bueno, pues yo soy uno de los líderes en SFOP y más que nada lo que hemos hecho en estos últimos meses ha sido una campaña hacia la ciudadanía. Como ustedes han escuchado en las noticias, el 21 de mayo pasó el bill potencial hacia una reforma migratoria, salió del Senado, el Comité Judicial del Senado. Entonces ahora en estos primeros días de junio esperamos que ya llegue este bill al Senado y allí los senadores van a hablar sobre el bill y a ver si lo apoyan o no. Hemos tenido vigilias todos los días afuera de las oficinas de la senadora Feinstein, más que nada presionando y diciéndole a la senadora que nosotros estamos en oración, esperanzados de que pase una reforma migratoria que nos vaya a ayudar a todos. Estamos agradecidos por su apoyo de la senadora Feinstein y todos aquellos que aprobaron que saliera este bill del Comité Judicial, pero sabemos que hay mucha oposición. Estos últimos días, algunos de nuestros líderes de San Francisco estuvieron presentes en las audiencias en Washington y están muy emocionados, pero al igual mencionaron que el senador Hatch de Utah dijo que él simplemente iba a apoyar para que este bill saliera del comité judicial, pero ya estando en el Senado, que él no iba a apoyar nada. Entonces, opiniones como la del senador Hatch van a haber muchas de los republicanos que no quieren apoyar. Y nuestra petición hacia nuestra gente es que nos ayuden, ¿no?, a presionar a los senadores, a los congresistas, para que ellos sepan que nosotros no nos vamos a dar por vencidos y que queremos un cambio a estas leyes migratorias que tienen el país en este momento.
So you've been holding on to a vigil, right, that you've been doing every day at Senator Feinstein's office, right?
Exactly, yeah. Every day we've been having them from 5 to 7 outside Feinstein's office, which is located right out of Montgomery Park between Post Street.
And why is this important for you to be out there holding a vigil and calling attention to migration reform?
Pretty much so they know that we're all united in faith and that we want a change to the immigration laws that we have in this country right now. Like I mentioned before in Spanish, you know, we're very thankful for the support that we've gotten from the senators that were at the Judiciary Committee. However, there are many amendments that we want to be made to this bill that is being passed to the Senate. For example, the price for people to apply to receive an RPI status. Right now, it's about $500 per individual. So if you add that up, you know, with a family of five, it's going to be very expensive, and people are not going to be able to afford for that. And also, we just want to pressure senators and Congress and anyone that is going to be able to make a change so that this immigration bill passes to remember the importance of American values, you know, and to remember to keep families together and just stop deportation overall.
Can you let the folks know how they can get involved in these types of campaigns as well? You know, because some people might not know about the fact that you were holding a vigil every day, for example, out here in San Francisco. So if they don't live in San Francisco, how is another way that folks can be able to maybe even start their own vigils as well in their communities?
Different organizations are affiliated with PICO, the national network, are doing their own thing. But if you're not familiar, if you would like to learn more, we've got our official page, so it's sfop.org, or the PICO national website that is just PICO, P-I-C-O, network.org. And in there you can find any events that we have going on. Something that you could do if you're not able to attend the vigils is to call the senator or congressman in the area and petition for their support for an immigration reform. And I'm going to share the phone number to do so. It's 1-888-979-7506. That's 1-888-979-7506.
And, you know, we hear a lot of lies coming out of Obama talking about migration reform and not doing anything about it, you know. So when it comes down to him, I mean, he's already been in office 4 years, right? He's mm-hmm. already had more than plenty of time to even begin to, you know, make this actual reality, right? All those speeches, those great speeches that never become true, so to speak, right? You know, what would you say to Obama right now in that sense of, like, you know, you've already had 4 years. What would you say to him?
I would just ask him to remember how he got to the presidency today. If it weren't for the Latino vote, he wouldn't be where he is today. I understand that, you know, politicians will do all they can to hold their place where they are, and especially Republicans, if they want to stay in power, they need to support the Latino community. Because again, in the past elections, we showed that there are many Latinos who are willing to vote, and if they want our vote, then they need to hear our voices and help so that we will have a fair immigration reform that will include all 11 million undocumented people who are currently living in the state.
And, you know, it's interesting that 8 white men can actually determine the future for 11 million people of color. It's just very interesting how it comes down to those 8 white people, so to speak.
Yeah, and, you know, I was in D.C. a couple of weeks ago, and I realized that putting together these ideas for this potential immigration reform from the Gang of Eight brought them together somehow. And it showed that the Senate and the government can work in unity despite their differences. And I know that it can happen. I know that, you know, if we put politics aside and we think of undocumented people as individuals and not criminals, that we can get somewhere. And, Senator Lee expressed love and gratitude towards all the people that were there supporting every day, you know, to pass an immigration reform, especially the people from PICO. And he told one of our representatives that he knew that it was thanks to the people that are doing the vigils daily and pressuring their leaders, you know, of faith to help us and to help people eventually receive a path to citizenship. So they're aware of our efforts in getting something to pass in Congress.
Is it also important for parents? I mean, you know, to have this same status as their kids, and why?
Of course it is. And that's one of the reasons why we're fighting so hard for an immigration reform to pass, because at this point, there are many who are going to be left out to receive an RPI status. And also, you know, Dreamers are not only the youth, but it's also their parents. Originally, it is the parents who brought them to this country in hope of a better future. And not only do their children need, the availability to work legally, but also their parents so that they can fulfill their dreams.
We also need to make the government aware that, you know, our parents are not terrorists, they're not criminals, and they should be recognized, right, for the efforts and the struggles they have overcome in order to give their kids education, or else their kids wouldn't be graduating to be dreamers, right?
Exactly. And I'm a dreamer myself. All my family was able to gain citizenship except I, because when I turned 21, it switched categories, so I was left out. And that's one of the reasons why I'm fighting for an immigration reform, because, you know, different people have different situations. And, you know, as for me, even though all my family was legally here, I wasn't able to do the same things that they were. I wasn't able to work legally until Obama passed deferred action. And If the United States doesn't want us as immigrants to be a burden, then we need to be able to work legally. We need to be able to live legally, because if we're not, then that's when we become a burden, because we can't do the things we want. We can't get the jobs we want because we don't have a Social Security. So I think that's something that they should definitely take into consideration.
That's right. And once again, it is important for, you know, this terrorist stereotype to be taken off from our parents, you know, and their generation, basically, that have been here for many years doing all the things they need to do legally. And, you know, maybe at some point they did run a stop sign, might have gotten a traffic ticket or something, right? But in reality, they've been following the laws. They've been, being able to participate with the rest of the citizens in their communities and be a part of that community and give back to that community as well by developing a family structure that is positive for our society and giving their kids an education so that they can be able to make society even more better, right?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at the statistics of people that daily, you know, trying to cross the border and all the sacrifices that they made, really, if they could have a better future in their country, I don't think that they would leave and lose a child while crossing the desert. They would stay in their country. Unfortunately, we are not so blessed as the United States is to have such a great country, to have such a free country, to be able to work, to be able to fulfill your dreams. And then that's one of the biggest reasons why people leave their country, because they're pressured, there's no jobs, and they seek a better life. So again, I reiterate that it's important that as undocumented people who are already here, who are willing to work, who already sacrificed so much by leaving their countries and maybe their family behind, the least that they could get is a legal status so that they can be able to work here and to move on with their lives.
That's right. And if we're talking about migration reform, remember, we got to go back to 1492 when we saw Christopher Columbus, you know, illegally land into the Western Hemisphere, so to speak, right? And so, again, you know, we also want to point out the fact that, you know, many of our parents are here because of U.S. foreign policies that are being used against our own folks in our homelands. And so, again, that's one of the reasons, like you're saying, that folks are forced to migrate and are forced to look for better ways and way to be able to give their next generation some sort of future. So again, I want to say thank you to you. What would you say to the youth out there who might be blinded by this, corporate, like materialistic world as well, that don't really understand why they're living in the barrios, you know, or why they're like growing up in poverty here too in the United States, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them in that sense of, you know, for their parents, about their parents, you know, and how their struggle is here?
I would just invite them to ask their parents about their story. Ask them why they're here. You know, why did they leave their country? One of the things that I've noticed while I was in D.C. is that our stories are what impacted most of those senators that approved the bill to leave the Judiciary Committee and eventually, you know, get to the Senate. It is our stories, it is our testimonies that will impact those who are very opposed to a possible immigration bill. Everyone has a story, even those who may not be undocumented. And I just invite everyone to ask people, you know, why did you come here? You know, why did you do what they do? And I'm sure that by learning about their parents and the sacrifices that they've made, it'll help understand, you know, maybe why they're living the way that they are. But also get involved in this movement. I think every step of the way since the DREAM Act passed, you know, deferred action, it's all history. This is history, and you can be part of history. You just need to get out there and be part of it. This Thursday, we will be holding another vigil at One Post. Again, it's right outside of Montgomery Park. We invite anyone that's interested. It'll be from 5:30 to 7 o'clock.
And we just want to say that fair migration reform really looks like a whole family unit, having the family together, being able to support the family through the process of, you know, documentation and making sure that everyone in the family becomes a citizen so that they can be able to support themselves and be able to, you know, make a better future for the whole family, not just for one or the other person in the family. And I think it's just takes us back to the colonial times where they don't recognize the family unit as a family, and instead they want them to be an individual and in that sense used for the corporate, you know, industrialization of our society, so to speak. And so it's sad that families aren't considered a unit already in the migration reform process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, there's so many amendments that we would love to pass, but obviously we're not going to have the perfect bill, but I know that we are getting somewhere. And again, you know, if people keep pressuring, you know, the congressmen in the area, Senator Pelosi, you know, I know that something will happen because we see the results right now from, you know, from the vigils, from people all over the United States, you know, holding prayers, you know, the marches that we have, everything. Like, it's getting somewhere, but this is just the beginning. We need to keep uniting and pressuring the leaders of our country so that we can get to a fair immigration reform that will eventually lead to citizenship for all 11 million undocumented people.
And, you know, real quickly, once again, the vigils you're holding are still going on, and where are they?
Yes, so we will have it on Thursday. It will be at one post right outside of Montgomery BART station.
And if people want more information, how can they find out more about how to get involved or just how to even start one at their own communities?
Well, they can contact. I will give my phone number. It's 925-639-6580. And again, I'm one of the leaders of SFOP. You could also visit the PICO national site, and that is www.pico.org. And any press releases, anything that is going on about the campaign for citizenship will be found there.
Wonderful. We want to say thank you for all your good work, and we most definitely hope that this migration reform will be fair for, you know, everyone to come and all seven generations down the road as well. So once again, we want to say thank you to you for all your good work in SFOP as well, and for going out there into Washington and representing the folks and, you know, taking it to that next level where la marcha es lenta, pero sigue siendo marcha, que no?
Yeah, exactamente. Quiero terminar con las palabras del congresista Gutiérrez que vino hace unos meses. Dijo que para tener un buen resultado, nosotros tenemos que ser persistentes, consistentes e insistentes. Y siento que eso es verdad. Nosotros tenemos que seguir adelante sin darnos por vencidos y veremos el resultado de una reforma migratoria.
Así es, y la lucha sigue una vez más. Muchas gracias, Stephanie, por estar con nosotros.
Gracias a ti.
Aquí estamos en KPFA 94.1. Mi nombre es Pedro Reyes. Ahorita regresamos right here on Setting the Standard.